Tom, I want to talk. Give me your thoughts on the new technology and how it's changing. You know how coaches use it. No whiteboard today on the ice for rookie coach for the rookie skate Jay Woodcroft. He had the tablet out there, and when he stopped drills, when they were doing structure drills, and it looked like he was showing them video of how he wanted them to do the play.
Yeah, Greg. I mean, you know, we've seen it in football over the years, and now in hockey, there's monitors in the benches. The benches have had monitors in them during games. They get the feeds from their video coaches. The video coaches are watching games as they're going on, and they can instantly send down video. But traditionally, we, as we watch practice and you know, cover it, see the coaches work on whiteboards. And today, for the first time in my 13, 14 years covering this team, I was looking at Jay Woodcroft while he was describing drills, and I think they were working on zone entries at the time. And you know, they're already working on zone entries, and it's day two of rookie camp. To me, it's like, okay, well, they don't want to mess around, and they're already looking at structure. And as this, you know, discussion was going on, I'm looking down. I'm like, he's not using a whiteboard, and that's not a pen in his hand. He had a laser pointer, and what he was doing was rolling video. And this is, like, on the bench. And, you know, immediately I go, well, that makes perfect sense. Why not do that? You know, why just have a static? Why not just have something other than a static whiteboard when you have – they just rolled out a TV monitor, and he was showing them video, and you know, whoever's the video coach can obviously bring up different things on the screen, and it's a smart board. They're in, you know, classrooms everywhere now, so Jay Woodcroft brought it up to the bench. I think it's simple, but I think it's probably really effective. And I, as the day was going on, I started talking to the guys around the team and asked if that's something that they'd seen with other coaches that they've had from other teams, and as you know, they progressed, you know, through juniors and of course, the pro ranks. And Keegan Lowe's like, no, that's Woody's thing. He started doing it last year in the playoffs. And I said, well, how effective is it? Because you guys watch video all the time anyway in the dressing room. And he goes, you know what? It actually works really well. And it the guys like it. And it's really effective. The example he used was last year when they were facing Colorado in the AHL playoffs. Woodcroft would roll, you know, say the Eagles' PK structure as these guys were on the ice and as they were about to do their power play setup. So I think it's so simple, and it's like, aha, why wouldn't someone do that? And I suppose it's the next step in the evolution of coaching. And if you have the resources, you use it. And Jay Woodcroft is a guy that obviously he's been a video coach, and he's an assistant coach for many, many years. And he's kind of, you know, being effective in changing the way he's approaching head coaching and practices with the TV and the monitor and video right there on the ice. And I think it's great. It's just something that caught my eye. It seems so simple, but you know what? When I told you, Greg, so you know, I think you had that aha moment in your eyes when I even pointed it out to you. So it's kind of neat, and we'll see where it goes from here if other guys follow Woodcroft's example.
Strady, I know you're coaching now, but
yeah,
what do you think from a on the ice quick little short video to show? How beneficial would it be?
Well, I'm not gonna lie. I don't love the idea of seeing more video, because as a player, you see so much video. But as a coach, you have to recognize that players learn at different ways, right? So there are some that you can just orally say, hey, this is what I want you to do, and they pick it up and they do it. There are some that you can show it on the whiteboard, and they'll be like, yep, I know where to be, no problem. Others, though, those two things don't work. So you show them a video, and that'll be easier for them to pick up. So over those three things, if you're explaining it, then drawing it up, and then showing a video, if a player can't figure it out, you got a big problem. Like, that player has a big problem because they're appealing to everybody. I don't know what any other way of explaining it. Now, obviously, I'm assuming everyone speaks English or whatever language you're dealing in. So that's a big thing. But I find it interesting. You know, like I said, a video sometimes, like, oh, God, video again. I don't want to see this. But if it's short and sweet, that's what it's at. I think back to Pat Quinn, 45-minute video sessions, where you just rip on us. So I get into a cold sweat, but you know, use it the way you're talking about, Tom. I think it can be good, especially for your young players, because they don't maybe understand the terminology that, you know, Jay or whoever's going to use moving from junior to pro.
Let me ask you this, Struddy. As a player, when you guys are going over drills on the ice, if a guy's showing you video, the one thing I noticed about that little huddle-up meeting and when Woodcroft was showing examples of whatever, you know, the structure or whatever, it took a long time. I think he was at the monitor for at least 10 minutes. For a guy that's on the ice and playing, would that hinder the effectiveness of the practice, in your opinion, if your mind's starting to wander, or would guys generally dial it in and pay attention?
So I think the coach has a chance. Like, so this is how I feel. And we're joined by Tom Gazzola for Tiny Tom's Tidy Tidings. By the way, I'm changing that to the segment when I talk to him. That's so Tiny Tom's Tidy Tidings.
Whatever you want, Struddy. Whatever you want. You haven't called me by my real last name in 10 years.
So, you know, you're asking about the flow of practice.
Right.
It's hard to, you know, like, so let's say you come out hard and the guys are skating, you're doing a bunch of movement drills and good flow drills, and then you slow down and you show, so you said 5 minutes or 10 minutes of video, yeah. And then you ask the guys to crank it up again. That's hard. So I think that, you know, you have to manage it so that the guys, if you're going to, so for instance, you do your whole practice, whatever it is, an hour practice, everything goes well. And then you pull out the video and say, hey guys, look how we did our penalty kill here, or look how we did our power play. Let's try that now. Then it's more like, it's not so much a working, it is a working part, but it's not like a conditioning time. It's more like a smart time where you have to think a little bit more and make moves like that. So you can make it that way. Because yeah. The other way, like it's, I find it, there's, if the guy talked too much, you lose your flow. It's a very, very, especially if you're trying to keep that tempo high. So you get through the high tempo part and either do it at the beginning, the talking, or at the end. But if you're doing a lot of talking mid practice, I think you lose the group.
Well, that was what Dallas Aikens would do when he was here. Ugh. His whiteboard examples were epically long. Like, how long would he go, Greg? 10 to 15 minutes a couple times of practice?
Oh, the one I almost fell asleep, but I was just sitting on the ice. Literally, I timed one for 12 minutes and 42 seconds. I'll never forget that number.
Yeah.
But he loved to talk. I mean, let's be honest. The guy loved to talk, and he loved to hear himself talk. But there's got to be some sense. Like, you... So just for right now, if everyone listening to me and I went on for 12 minutes, would you still listen? No, there's got to be a point to it. And when you're on the ice and you're leading a practice, I believe you have a 2 to 3 minute window to get your point across to the players. And if you can't get it across in that, you're either A, talking about too many points, or B, you're too wordy. And the coach has got to figure it out. You've got to figure it out. And you know, like Craig McTavish used to have meetings at the end of practice or midway through practice. So he'd bring in, everyone remembers putting his arms over the stick. And he talked to us, and then he sent us off the ice. But, you know, to have a huge moment where you're talking for 12 minutes midst practices, that's just, you lose the guys. They're gone, and they get mad.
I just, you know, the only thing that I wonder is, because it's video, maybe it's more engaging and guys don't tune it out as quick. But I thought it was really interesting. It was the first time I've ever seen that with a huge monitor on the bench. And, I asked Keegan Lowe, and he seemed to like it and said it was effective. So it's interesting, though.
Which rookies are you intrigued to watch tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be – I'll watch Benson and Marody and obviously, you know, whenever Yamamoto finally gets going or gets the final clearance with the wrist that's hampering him. But, it's going to be interesting to see – and the goalies, too. That was another thing that Woodcroft addressed today is who's going to emerge of the young guys to play behind – Shane Starrett down in Bakersfield. So I'll keep an eye on Wills and Skinner as well. But yeah, that's where my focus is, Greg. I like to stick with the guys that, you know, that are close to making an impact or making this team when it comes to the actual training camp.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And Bianca, well, you watched it last night. Are you becoming more interested in tennis because of her?
100%. And so yesterday our crew for the Don Wheaton on White Korean postgame show got together at a fine local downtown, a fine establishment there that I like to enjoy from time to time. And everything was on the NFL kickoff, the Packers-Bears game. Awful game, by the way. I just want to point that out. And Awanek, I have to give him credit, asked them to put on Bianca's match on one of the TVs, not one of the main ones, just so we could keep an eye on it. And by the end of the match, the whole place was watching that one screen to see if Bianca would be able to pull it off. And I've loved watching this. I, you know, Jeannie Bouchard, I obviously was watching her when she was, you know, she made the Grand Slam final a few years ago, but Milos Raonic kind of captured our imaginations as well, and Chapo has been great, and this Felix Auger-Aliassime supposed to be, you know, a legit contender on the men's side eventually. But the way Bianca is doing it is you can't look away, I find. And tennis is intriguing me more and more. Not that I didn't like tennis, but now I'm really into it. And I find that I have completely tuned out baseball of all sports, and I'm focusing on tennis. Like, that's the balance in my sports attention right now. Is like, I don't even care what's going on with baseball. I'm a guy that'll turn on any game. I'm not a Blue Jays guy. I'll just watch baseball. Now I'm like, no, I don't care. I'll watch whatever's going on with tennis. Like, it's unbelievable to see how it's just surging in popularity. And I can't wait to see what happens tomorrow with her and Serena. Honestly, like, this is the match that we were hoping for at the Rogers Cup last month. And I hope it's a barn burner, honestly.
It'll be great. Tommy, enjoy the weekend. Lots to talk about. Oilers rookies, you got the Eskimos, you got Bianca, Serena, NFL weekend. Enjoy it.
All right, guys, take care.